Ho, ho, ho! Yup, there goes Santa Claus! This is Connect the Dots radio show. Hey, it's Christmas time in New York City. Merry Christmas. How about that? Forget that happy holiday bullshit. It's Merry Christmas. You got a problem with that? You're the one with the problem. How about that, huh? Ho, ho, ho. What did Santa Claus say when he came down the chimney and he found the whorehouse? He said, ho, ho, ho. Anyhow, hey, you know, everybody should be having a good time. Hey, Christmas is for kids. Yes, sirree. And if you grow up in a place where they don't celebrate Christmas, man, you're a kid, boy, you lose out, let me tell you. Because Christmas is for kids. And the kids are the ones who get the presents. Yeah, and it makes their life happy. You know, hey, Christmas comes about once a year. But you know what? People don't talk anymore about what the celebration is supposed to be about. You know, in theory, you're supposed to be having a celebration of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, otherwise known as Jesus Christ. And even though December 25th is not his real birthday, his real birthday is known and is kept on record, not on planet Earth, it's kept on record off planet Earth. But this information was given to us about 100 years ago. Yeah. It's called the Fifth Apocryphal Revelation. And, well, you need to search for that. Because if I was just to tell you the real birthday of Jesus, you'd be in an uproar. You'd want to pretend like, well, it's December 25th, and there's a multitude of reasons why that day was chosen. Multitude of reasons. But anyhow, it's the day we celebrate. On planet Earth here, the birth of Jesus. Whom Jesus was, everybody has their own opinion on that, but it is known. And you need to search for that truth. Yeah. Hey, inquiring minds want to know. Hey, this is a call-in radio show. It's Christmas in New York City here, and hey, call in, 888-627-6008, toll-free number, and say something about Christmas. You know, the idea of the giving the gifts is we're supposed to be emulating the story of the three wise men who had heard on the grapevine about some special person was going to be born into planet Earth. And they brought gifts in honor of this amazing being that was going to be born into the human race. Yep, the info was out there on the grapevine, whether it was probably started with Mary was visited by the angel and told, you're going to give birth to a very special, special individual. And I guess she told that to somebody else, and then the word got around. Some people wanted this, were looking forward to it, and other people were in horror. The bad guys were in horror. Yeah, they didn't want anyone good being born into the earth because they wanted to continue their rotten ways of cheating people, enslaving people, and doing all kinds of bad things. But anyhow, that's part of the story. But Christmas is for kids. And though way back in the last century, there were... If we go back far enough, kids didn't really, maybe they wrote a note to Santa Claus or something like that. Santa Claus was something that was invented. I think it started with St. Nicholas over there in Europe or something like that. And became known Santa Claus here in the United States of America. But anyhow, and then the fable of riding on the reindeer and dropping down into chimneys and leaving presents. You know, everybody, a child believes that to a point where they finally realizes, like, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. A big fat guy climbing down, how can he get to all the chimneys, all the houses in one night? Of course not. But you're still looking forward to the presents, even if you don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. And who's really Santa Claus? Your parents. Man, that's who Santa Claus is. Does the playing the part of Santa Claus there. And kids look forward to that, at least in the Christian world. The kids look, the word Christian refers to the followers of the teachings of Jesus. And, of course, there's fake Christians, too. And there's all different varieties of churches that call themselves Christian, you know, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, well, I have to say, if it wasn't for the Catholic religion, the story of Jesus probably would have not made it into this point in time, even though they tainted the story themselves, and it was a plot really to take over two religions. They created this book called the Bible. You know, today this is an educational program. You know, the Bible was created by the Romans. That's it. They took scriptures from the followers of Jesus of Nazareth, and they took the Jewish scriptures, and they put them into the world's first encyclopedia. I think it was 325 A.D., and they formed what's known as the Roman Catholic Church. And this thing they called the Bible had 66 or more books, depending on which version you want to talk about. And that's how we got the Bible. No, God did not write the Bible. No, Jesus did not write the Bible. It was the Romans who put together books written by other people, I think 39 different authors or something like that, and they put it together, and we could call it the world's first encyclopedia, and they called it the Holy Bible. And they set up the Roman Catholic Church. It was a plot to take over two groups of pesky people who didn't want to bow down to the emperor, the Roman emperor. So anyhow, that's how it all came to be, and to take us up to where we are today. And in the beginning, only the priests knew how to read out of this Bible. And they spoke in an unused language called Latin. of course, to keep the people in the dark, you know, the whole plot was to get control in the minds of the people, control the Christians, the pesky Christians, and the pesky Jewish people. So that's how it all came about and started. But if it wasn't for the Catholic Church with their weekly ceremonies and big fancy churches people like to go to, the story might have got lost over time, or certainly wouldn't have become as worldwide as it has become. So it was good and bad. Even though the initial intent of putting together the Bible was a negative one, one of control, one of deceit, it actually turned out to be a good one. And then though they were in control of this Bible until the invention of the printing press. And then when copies were printed in other languages, people began to look and read and discover for themselves, wait a second, there's more to this than we've been told. And then we had the break off from the Catholic Church, and we had the Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Lutherans, and it goes on and on and on and on. So, bring us to where we are today. But anyhow, that's what the whole thing of Christmas. And like I said, there's many reasons why the birthday of Jesus began to be celebrated on the 25th of December. Many reasons. I'm not going to waste anybody's time to go into it. Investigate for yourself. But so much for that. So it's a time of being good. This whole thing about saying happy holidays, that's an anti-Christian attitude. You know, that's an anti-God attitude. If you knew who Jesus really was, and I do, you'd understand to not respect the authority given to Jesus, who allowed himself to be crucified to fulfill prophecy and do the will of the Heavenly Father. If you don't understand who he really is, well, you're at a loss. And again, the world has been controlled by demons long before Jesus was born into the world about 2,000 years ago in some little town called Bethlehem. But and it was ruled by the dark side, invaders from outer space. That's who they were. They came here and they took over the human race and they controlled people with fake religion. They set themselves up as the false gods, and that's the situation we were in when Jesus was born into this world. You know, he made a valid attempt to teach humanity about the loving nature of the real God, known as the Heavenly Father, if you want to know him personally. It's interesting that the Galactic Federation, who are here to help us and finally free us from the slavery routine of the world invaders from outer space, who've been ruling over our world for hundreds of thousands of years, and the invisible demons, the fallen angels, who infest the minds of weak-minded people, and they, to this day, they continue to do that. But we're going to be freed of all that. But the Galactic Federation does not understand. They call it Source. They don't have a personal connection, and that's what we have here on Earth. Those of us who understand the importance of who Jesus is. He's the Heavenly Father's representative and has been given full authority over this sector of the universe, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. That is the reality. And, if you have a problem with that, you're the one with the problem. But that's why people call on the name of Jesus. That's the most powerful name to call on. Of course, you can call it in the name of God. You can call on God, too. But Jesus does the interactions because he's been given full authority to act, represent the Heavenly Father here on earth. Heavenly Father doesn't have to come to your rescue. It's Jesus' job. But, of course, God, the Heavenly Father, personally known as the Heavenly Father, has the right to intervene in anything upon his choosing. But that's why the story goes, Jesus said while he was on the earth, I'm the gatekeeper. You want to get to the Heavenly Father, the real God of all gods? Well, you have to come through me, because I've been given full authority over your sector of the universe. And that is the story there. You know. What do you know? Well, if you know anything, hey, you got a telephone. Hey, it's this call-in radio show. Call in and tell us what you know. So, couple hours from now. Hey, with some places already, I guess over in England, they're opening up their presence already, maybe. Who knows? But plenty of happy children are going to be happy this Christmas, because I think kids get more presents now than they ever got before. I mean, it's been on an increase for quite some time. Every decade, the children seem to get more presents year after year. But that's good. You know, maybe not that good for the parents, because they get stuck paying the bill, putting out all the money. But hey, it's only Christmas comes but once a year. I kind of feel sorry for the people that were born on Christmas, because they get cheated. You know, in America, children get presents on their birthdays too. I don't know how it is in other countries, but so if you're born on Christmas, you get cheated, because you only got one day to get presents. If you were born on some other day outside of Christmas, you know, and not that close to Christmas, chances are you're going to have 2 days about every year that you're going to receive presents. Yeah, that's the way it is on planet Earth. So, hey, you know, as the saying goes, the old little jingle bell, jingle bells on the sleigh of Santa, so much mythology connected with Santa Claus and Christmas that goes beyond the reality of what it was supposed to be originally to represent. The good old Christmas tree. I mean, in America here today, probably the biggest sign of Christmas is the people who have houses. They go out of this world with light displays, and their neighbors are battling neighbors for the town prize for who has the best light setup. And I like it. I like to go out and drive around at night and look at all the wonderful lights that people have decorated their houses. And every year they got more unusual Christmas light setups that you can put on your house or in your yard. People decorate the trees. They decorate their fences. And it's a wonderful time of year for just enjoying the view of the Christmas lights, the electric Christmas lights. And that's part of Christmas in 2022. You know, Christmas lights started, I guess, I don't know, over 100 years ago or something like that. People started decorating trees. Usually towns would decorate a big tree. Then people started decorating trees in their house, put Christmas lights on. And now they decorate the whole outside of the house. And there's all these special decorations you can buy at stores like Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever, where they got reindeer you can put on your lawn, they got a sleigh you can put on your lawn, they got all kinds of blow-up things, like a blow-up Santa Claus, or you can put elves on your lawn. And of course, people decorate their trees. Some people use all white lights, some people use all blue lights, some people have all flashing lights. And there's just, that's Christmas for the grown-ups. You know, so it's a good time of year. And it's Christmas. It's not happy holidays, okay? You know, that's an anti-God slogan. If you don't understand that, well, you're probably some anti-God fool. That's all I got to say. Because the Christmas lights has to do with Christmas. It doesn't have to do with happy holidays. The idea of decorating the tree, that started over in Europe some time ago, a couple hundred years ago. It might have started in Germany. I'm not sure. Hey, it's a call and radio show. Correct me if I said anything incorrect, but whatever. It's time for good cheer. You know, there's so many Christmas songs were written talking about things, and, you know, and little riddles and poems, you know, about Santa Claus. He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows if you're awake because you're supposed to be sleeping when he comes down the chimney and drops off the presents. You're not supposed to be watching him do that. As part of the that's part of the myth to keep the children still believing in Santa Claus. You know, he's supposed to be dead sleeping so you can't see him when he sneaks in your house and drops off the presents. So you can still believe that he does that. But, yeah, he knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. Yeah, you better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, well. So much for Santa Claus. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, yeah. You know, it's a part of the mythology. You know, Santa has a sleigh pulled by a reindeer, and the lead reindeer is Rudolph with his glowing nose. Yeah, songs about that. Look it up if you don't know it. Google it. Google it, yeah. The, I don't know, people don't really sing those songs anymore, I don't think. So you might have to Google it to find out what I'm talking about there. Anyway, it's a good time of year. It's time to be happy. You know, what's the story with the mistletoe? Yeah, you might have to Google that too. Especially if you're young, you might have to Google that one too. What's the deal with the mistletoe? And no, it has nothing to do with your foot. Mistletoe, and, you know, it's not people missing a toe. Anyhow, Google it. The so. Children in some part of the world are ripping open their presents now. That's another part of Christmas, to wrap your presents and make them look attractive. And it's kind of a little game. The kids wake up, they see the presents under the Christmas tree that supposedly Santa Claus left. Really, it was their parents that left them there, but and they start, you know, they will, sometimes there'll be name tags on them, and they start ripping them open to be surprised at what Santa Claus brought them or their parents got them. And, of course, you know, it's been so commercialized nowadays. Kids, they don't write notes to Santa Claus anymore. They just tell the parents, this is what I want for Christmas. And the parents know they're obligated to get it. And that's the way it gets played out in the modern world. Well, when the Galactic Federation lands, everything changes here on Earth. Will we still celebrate Christmas? I don't know. And we'll find out what the real birthday of Jesus is. I mean, I know what the birthday is, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to irritate people. You know, people will get offended. They want to believe. I mean, even though there is no documentation of December 21st being the birthday of Jesus, it's not in the Bible, and it's not his birthday, okay? But we celebrate his birthday, and that's good enough, you know. You know, we've assigned this day to celebrate his birthday. Ho, ho, ho. And you wonder where that saying came from, you know. That's taken from an old pirate song, ho, 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 and a bottle of rum. maybe that's how the connection comes for drinking on Christmas, you know. And, of course, there's the eggnogs that have a little bit of alcohol in them. And Christmas is a time for celebration. People drink, people eat, they have a feast, you know. And a lot of pastries and stuff. So it's a good time for celebrating one way or another. And if only we could celebrate Christmas every day and be joyful and happy. And that's another bit of Christmas that was popular 100 years ago, more so, when people would go around, groups of people would go around and they'd sing Christmas carols, Christmas songs, you know, and knock on people's doors and they would sing, and sometimes they would get a reward for singing. Sometimes they'd get the door maybe slammed in their face. But people went out Christmas caroling on Christmas. That's right. I don't know. Very few people do it nowadays. It's a tradition that has kind of faded. But Google it. Ask the Google God about Christmas caroling. And, hey, there's other things happening today besides Christmas, you know? And, unfortunately, we're all in the midst of a war. We're in the final battle between good and evil. It's good that we all can take a day off and celebrate and forget about the troubles. Some of us are still caught up in troubles, even on Christmas Day. But, you know, that's life, you know? Can we say? But it'd be nice if it was Christmas every day, because people try to put their show their good side on Christmas. And then maybe a lot of people turn back to their bad side the following day. Who knows? And, of course, Monday, people will be returning presents to the stores, the ones they don't want. That's part of Christmas celebration, too, you know. People save the price tag, so the present isn't really wanted taken. It can be taken back to the store to get a refund. Yeah. Over-commercialized Christmas. Oh, well. You know, a long time ago, before it became Christmas became overly commercialized, sometimes Christmas presents were handmade by people, you know, because there was a lot more poor people around back then. In those days, 100 years ago or so, 200 years ago. And there weren't that many stores, and people didn't have that much money. So they wanted to get a Christmas present for somebody. They might have to make it themselves. And people got, if you were lucky, you got one Christmas present back along the dome. Nowadays, my God, kids get an uncountable amount of presents. And then there's, of course, the people that just give out the money cards, you know, lack of imagination, or they're just too lazy. You know, some people don't like wrapping presents. I always like wrapping presents. You know, it's a chance to use your artistic talent. But Google it. Google, call the Google God. Contact the Google God and find out about all these Christmas traditions and ways and how it's changed from 100 years ago, from 200 years ago, from 50 years ago. And you'll learn a thing or two. Yes, you will. Hey, I'm dreaming of a wonderful Christmas. Yeah, but in New York, I don't think it is a white Christmas light. Not in New York City. At least maybe up in New York State it is. And other places of the world. And regardless of snow causes havoc and problems for people, I like snow. I don't care what anybody says. I like it, especially when it's snowing and the big snowflakes come down. It creates a different atmosphere, especially if you're outside and get to enjoy it. You know, it creates a whole different atmosphere. Snow is to be enjoyed, you know? People that just don't like it, I mean, you know, they're jaded, you know? They can't appreciate the beauty of snow, you know? It creates a whole different atmosphere and feeling, especially when those big flakes are coming down. And, you know, children can go out and make snowmen, and you can have a good old-fashioned snowball fight. And once it's down, you can go sleigh riding, skiing. So there's a lot of good aspects to snow. It quiets things, too. When you're out there and it's one of those big flakes, snows, light snow but big flakes, it quiets everything, yeah. Snow is a magical thing. You know, most people don't realize, you know, snow is a sign from the universe or the heavenly realms when there's an event happening and there's a conscious connection made with the universe. Snow will come out of nowhere and there'll be a light twinkling of snow that wasn't predicted. It just comes out of nowhere and it's for the moment. It's a sign from God, sign from the Lord Jesus Christ, sign from the heavenly realms. And I can give you one particular instant that you might be able to relate to if you know a little bit about human history in America here. The anniversary date of the assassination of the famous John Lennon, the man who formed the band called the Beatles, came up with the name Beatles, and became world famous with his band, the Beatles, and moved to New York City. And unfortunately, he was assassinated right out in front of the building he lived on, the Dakota Building, in New York City on 72nd Street there. And it was a sad day on December 8th of 1980 that he was assassinated. He left behind, two children, one from Yoko and one from his first wife, Cynthia. And so Yoko, the surviving current wife of John Lennon, called for a moment of silence in remembrance of a man who was loved by countless millions of people. And I think it was, you know, happened maybe the first week of January or something like that. She called for a moment of silence. I think it was at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And I was doing this driving job at the time, and I pulled the vehicle over. On a spot where I could see Manhattan, because that's where he lived in 1980. I guess this was January of 1981. And I pulled over at 1 o'clock to show my respects with that moment of silence. It was like 1 minute silence, or maybe it was 3 minute silence. But as soon as that moment came, within a couple of seconds of that moment of silence, snow came down. A light snow came down out of nowhere. It wasn't called for by the weathermen that day, but it came down in honor. It was the universe or God, you know, sending those snowflakes as a remembrance of John Lennon. In honor of him. And these things, and this is how snow is used in other circumstances too. When it's an important moment for the universe, because John Lennon was a great man, you know, he was an advocate of peace and a world leader for the peace movement. And so he was given recognition by the universe, by snowflakes coming out of the sky that where it hadn't been forecast it was going to be snow. And it happened. The snow went on for about a minute, and then it was gone. But this is how snow is used on planet Earth. When it's an important moment, snow will appear out of nowhere and just participate lightly for a short amount of time. Hey, this is an educational show. It's Connect the Dots, and I'm connecting the snowflakes with the dots here. So that's my testimonial about what I know about snowflakes and how they're used to honor people. And maybe you've come across situations like that in your life. Maybe not. And that's probably something you can't Google. You only can learn from firsthand stories about people who've experienced it. You know, that's the limitations of Google. You know, the information is only on Google if somebody took the time to put it into the system. That's it. And so there's many things that you're not going to be able to Google. And one of the things you're not going to be able to Google is what's in my book, Connect the Dots Theory. That's why I keep talking about it. It's not a big seller because I don't know how many, I have no idea how many people listen to me on the radio station, and you all might be non-buyers, you know. You want everything for free, you know. If the Google machine won't give it to you for free, you're not going to spend 10 cents on it. But my book can be downloaded for $5, $7, depending on who you get it from, you know. And there's so much knowledge in that book that you're not going to be able to Google, especially the pictures of things that can be witnessed here on Earth. Unusual craft hovering in the sky, pictures of craft that nobody who's ever supplied pictures of UFO has supplied pictures that I have in my book. If you're interested in pictures of UFOs that have never been shown anywhere except in my book, you should make an effort to Google, not Google it, but get the book, Connect the Dots Theory. I mean, actually, Google, I think, gives you, to whet your appetite, gives you the first 40 pages of the book. It's out there for free. I mean, what's $5 nowadays? you know. Yeah, a box of candy is more than $5. So it's not a question of price. It's a question of, do you have a desire for truth? And that is the truth about that. Plus, you have all these 35-millimeter photos and photo enlargements. And I say 35-millimeter because they can be proven to exist. You know, when we're talking about digital photos, forget it. They all can be faked. And there's no way to prove they're real. Again, that's the digital conspiracy. I talk about 39 ongoing conspiracies, and the digital conspiracy is one of them that I talk about in the book. But you got the 30-millimeter photos, about 75 of them, showing you some spacecraft that you've never seen before that hover. They show you about the blinking lights that appear in certain situations where there's craft moving around. We got pictures of the focal points of light energy that create doorways between dimensions. I got pictures of the creatures that we share Mother Earth here with that fly around at night but are invisible, but the camera will pick up their light trail. So they're radiating light. From the size of the radiations of the light, it looks like they're insect-sized, something like that, large insect size maybe, but they leave a light trail. So I don't know, is it kind of like a firefly, but it leaves a, these creatures are like firefly size maybe, but they leave light trails that hang in the air and are picked up by the camera. So, you know, that's a whole scientific area that needs to be investigated. And I'm the first one to bring it out with photos. So if you're a scientist and looking for something new to investigate, you need to get a copy of my book, Connect the Dots Theory, and study the pictures and study the sky pictures. I noticed the position of the stars and noticed the focal points of light that come down to ground level. I've got pictures of that too. And those things, the focal points of light that come down to ground level, you can see them with your naked eye. Of course, you're not going to see them where there's another light source around. You have to be out in the wilderness where there is no other light source. And when these things are cast out like a net by the space travelers when they're visiting Earth, and they want to come down to they want to set up a doorway from their spacecraft down to the ground so they can you know, beam down or whatever. They set up these things. They like cast a net. A net defined by focal points. And if you connected those focal points, connect the dots, because that's what you'll see if you happen to be in that area, you'll see dots floating around in the air, sort of just like coming out of the sky and then going down to ground level. And amidst that area, if you have beings might be materializing on ground level from the spacecraft that are hovering above. And I've got pictures of all this stuff. In my book, Connect the Dots Theory, again, if you're a scientist or just somebody who desires to learn more about what exists right here on Earth, things that are happening, you know, you need to get my book and then start doing your own investigations. And then get yourself a camera and start finding where these creatures hang out. I mean, I've determined by having enough pictures of it that these insect creatures, flying creatures, birds, or whatever they are that leave these light trails, small birds, or bigger birds, the size of a cat or something like that, that leave light trails, they happen to like spruce trees. And I've got pictures of them, a whole bunch of them, nesting on spruce trees. So, if you want to get your own pictures, all you have to do is get yourself a camera with a beach setting, use high-speed film, and you'll capture these things with a camera with the beach setting at night. Of course, you want to be in an area where there's no artificial light around, because artificial light, strong artificial light will blot out what the camera will pick out, be able to pick up. And you want to use film for this. You know, there's certain things that you need film to pick up, and other things, digital cameras will pick up other things, but the things that you can pick up with film, digital cameras won't pick up. Again, that's why they're pushing digital, because they don't want you to find out what's going on just beyond the range of human sight. Nope. That's why they want everybody to have digital cameras. Yeah, you can pick up the orbs with the digital cameras, but the creatures that fly around and leave the light trails and nest on spruce trees in particular, you're going to need a camera with a B setting that just opens up, no flashes, because you'll obliterate it. Then use a B setting, you open up the lens, and and you just let whatever light's around come in, and that's how you capture the light trails. But you're not going to really know what I'm talking about unless you get my book and get the pictures in the book, and then you'll get an understanding of what I'm talking about here. But if you're a scientist, how can you not be interested in starting some research into documenting these creatures that fly around at night? They probably fly around the daytime too, but we're not going to be able to pick them up with the sunlight blotting everything out, because we're picking up low candle power, it's called. And if you shine a light on it, the light being shined on it will obliterate it, so you won't catch it. You're getting lessons in photography here too. But if you're a scientist, how can you not be interested in this? The book is Connect the Dots Theory. Mine, it's out there. You can get it. You can Google that title. Connect the Dots Theory by me, Tom Edison. That's right. Name very similar to that inventor of the light bulb from over 100 years ago. He didn't invent electricity. Electricity has been around for a long time. I don't know if you can Google all the info on that. Because, like I said, it has to be put. Somebody has to put it in for you to find it on Google. But my first 40 pages of the book put out there by Google, they're out there because I think the book company provided that. The book is published by Wolfkin Books out there in Pennsylvania. That's the United States of America. Pennsylvania, not Transylvania. So, how can you resist not buying a copy of that book? You can buy the full 8.5 by 11 book at Barnes & Noble. You'll have to order it because they refuse to give me book signing tour. You know, I'm not important enough in their realm, you know. So you'll have to order it from them, but they arrangements can be made if you want the full book, which I say is in, you know, it has its advantages to have a full book in front of you. Certain things can be comprehended with an 8.5 by 11 size full book that you won't be able to put together that easy if you just download it and it's on a computer system. The of course, computer systems have their advantage too, but and that's the cheapest way to buy it. Download it for $5 and change. I think Amazon can help you out with that. If it's on a notepad you want it, I think it's $7. And there's, I think iTunes handles it also. You know, just go to the regular people. It's out there. Connect the Dots Theory. That's where I got the name for the show, Connect the Dots. And believe me, I'm connecting many dots in that book. Plus, I got the pictures of the dots that can be also connected. And I've got some drawings there of the, talk about connecting the dots, about the apparatus. They can extend down from the sky, and they move it around. Like, and then you'll have my real-life story about, like, I was concerned because they were moving this thing closer to me, and I was thinking, oh, my God, they're going to suck me up with it or something. And they might have if I hadn't seen it. And apparently, they can tell if you're aware of being able to see their little invisible device. But it kind of I drew a picture of it there. I didn't have a camera with me that time. This is my first time out there in the wilderness experiencing this phenomena, and so I drew a picture of it. It looks like kind of ventilation, a zigzag, crinkled ventilation shaft coming out of the sky. It's outlined by dots, and you can actually see, I was actually able to see the energy lines connecting the dots that formed the outline of this vacuum cleaner, maybe, ventilation shaft that was zigzagged and all bent in many ways. It didn't, wasn't a straight pipe coming down. It was, had crinks and it zigzagged, and it had no definite straight shape, but like a crinkled hose. Zigzagging back and forth, but it was coming down out of the sky. Again, you got to buy the book, Connect the Dots Theory, or download it, and then you'll see what I'm talking about there. And I could actually see energy lines connecting the dots. And talk about putting the bug in my ear. So eventually, this thing, I did, when I started writing this book, it took a period of over 10 years to put it all together. I started with my experience, and then I, you know, one thing led to another. And eventually I came, concluded that the perfect title for this, all this information, would be Connect the Dots. And like I said, there's a couple of diagrams in there where I'm connecting the dots. I've also seen the dots coming down out of the sky over a fire. You know, that's the importance of fire. Fire makes a connection to the sky. And if there's an entity presence hovering in the spacecraft over where you got that bonfire going, they'll send their, cast their net of dots, focal points of light energy that float in the air. And if you can, if you're capable of expanding your vision, you'll actually see, without the aid of a camera, you will see the energy lines connecting the dots, which are the focal, floating focal energy points that are basically look like stars in the sky. They are about the same size and same sparkle power as starlight, except they're near you. So each, if they're coming down to ground level, so, you know, the starlight we see in the sky, those are suns, you know, light years away. Sun sometimes, you know, stars sometimes bigger than our sun, but it's just a twinkling of light because it has to travel so far. But these twinkling of lights are actual focal points of light energy that resemble starlight, and they come down out of the sky and they'll hover, funnel around a fire to make a connection of the top of the fire, a bonfire or something like that, up into the sky. And it's another way that up there can connect to down here. Again, it's in my book, Learn About It, called Connect the Dots Theory. And it's not about a theory. It's about revealing truth and explaining things. It's an educational text. You know, it's not just some crazy theory. It's about truth. But it seemed like an appropriate title to call it, Connect the Dots Theory. I mean, you know, to play it on the safe side, I call it a theory, but I know it's everything in that book is based on truth, personal observations, and anything else connected with those personal observations. It's truth. It's a text, truth, an educational text. And you ought to go out there and get it. Look for it. Find it. Seek, and you will find Connect the Dots Theory. And like I said, you can Google that, and you'll get some connections. How about that? And I am the author. This is your radio show host, Tom Edison speaking. And just reminding you, you know, not I am my only radio show host. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I got two albums out there on CD Baby, Songs Better Than Dylan. And the first song on that album is called I Gotta Be Somebody, which you are going to hear at the end of my show every week. You get to hear it because it's like an anthem, you know. We all can be singing I Gotta Be Somebody, because we all want to be somebody, and we won't be satisfied until we are somebody. And that's a good attitude to have. It's a very positive attitude. And I sing about it. And people say, hey, you know, that's a good sounding song. It's original. It's got original beat to it, you know. It's got original words to it. Kind of got it like an Elvis flavor to it. And I got another album out there, American Party Songs, too, which is more high-energy rock and roll. And, of course, I got 27 videos out there on YouTube that you can watch for free. The last one, I don't know, was that last, it's been up there 3 or 4 weeks now. I Want More of Your Love. Yeah, it's a good topic. And you ought to be able to sing that to somebody. Easy lyrics, but the video is entertaining to watch. A lot of women out there in clubs throwing kisses at the camera. Yeah, I want more of your love. And if you watch it, you might want more of their love. Starting with the new year, I'm going to have two more videos out there. We'll talk about that next week, I guess. But we're coming to the end of the show. Yeah, that's right. It was a call-in radio show, but I guess, you know, nobody wanted to pick up their phone or nobody had anything special to say. Hey, some days are like that. And so I'm going to do the countdown for the engineer, and he's going to take us out of here with the music. And if you listen to the show before, you might actually know the words to I Gotta Be Somebody. But you want to really understand that song? Go to CD Baby. I'm the artist, Tom Edison. Name of the album is Songs Better Than Dylan. And this is one song that is better than any song that Dylan ever wrote. I Gotta Be Somebody. Okay, Mr. Engineer, time to take us out of here now. Hey, listeners, tell your friends to tune in next week because this is an educational show. You'll learn things on this show that you can't learn anywhere else in the whole damn world. How about that? Okay, here's the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Statistic. I don't want to be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't want to be no John Doe. I don't want to grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Oh, I know I was here, took my stand. Without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave. I don't wanna join them in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody. Without fear, it is clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stop to look.